Christ says in today's gospel, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will save it. I think people often do anything they can to avoid death. You know, if we look at how much money people spend on healthcare just to preserve their life, keep themselves alive a little bit longer, people spend everything they have. Or the amount of money that we spend on research and development for cures of various diseases. Or if we think that right now, you know, we can simply call 911 and there's people that are waiting, police, medics. If someone's in danger of death or other serious situation, there's people just waiting to come and help them out. And yet today's readings talk not about avoiding death, but about embracing it. And as Christians, we're called to not fear death, but to embrace death as a way of life. So what do we mean by that? Well, St. Paul talks in the second reading about baptism. In baptism, the water is symbolic of a number of things. One is cleansing, as people usually associate it with. But also, water is symbolic of death. You know, what happens if a person goes underwater and stays there for a little while? They're not going to survive. They're going to die. And so baptism, by immersing someone into the water, is about a death through the sacraments. And what are we dying to? You know, St. John says in his first letter, chapter 5, the whole world is in the power of the evil one. This entire world is under the authority of Satan. And when human beings are born, they're born under the jurisdiction and under the authority of Satan because they're in a state of original sin. And so in order to be freed from that, the person who's baptized goes under the water and they die through the power of the sacrament. That person who's under the authority of Satan is now dead. And they come out of the water in a rebirth, as St. Paul says, to live in newness of life. So they come out as a new creation, not under the power of Satan, but under the power and reign of Jesus Christ as a child of the light. And so they're purified, original sin is removed, and they're given sanctifying grace. And so in baptism, it is not just an empty ritual. You know, baptism is not just an empty sign. There's an invisible reality that's at work in the sacrament of baptism. It's a permanent transformation of one's soul, that the old person literally dies and a new creation is brought about. Without baptism, we can't please God with our actions. Because if we're not in a state of grace, it's impossible for us to be living in accord with the will of God. And so baptism is necessary to live a life of grace and to live in a way that's pleasing to God and to cooperate with His grace. We also can't receive any of the other sacraments without baptism. Baptism is always the first because every other sacrament builds off of the grace of baptism. So if someone isn't baptized, none of the other sacraments can take effect upon their soul. And so baptism enables us to cooperate with the grace of God and to live a life that's pleasing to Him, and it's the beginning of the Christian life. And in fact, it's baptism that actually makes us a Christian. When does someone begin to be a Christian? It's when they're baptized, the old person dies, and they are reborn as a Christian. While we can't see the reality of baptism, you probably can't tell just by looking at someone whether they've been baptized or not. But in the next life, and especially when we stand before Christ for judgment, it'll be very clear. You know, the difference between someone who's been reborn in a life of grace and those who haven't. There's a tendency today for people to defer baptism or to push it until the child is old enough to make their own decision, or people will have various reasons for deferring baptism. And there are some Protestant churches that teach that we shouldn't baptize infants at all, that you have to wait till someone's an adult to baptize them. The church's teaching has always been to baptize children soon after their birth. There is a moral obligation that parents have, and traditionally it was within the first month, especially at a time during times where infant mortality was high. It was very important that parents have their children baptized, and so there was actually a moral obligation to have our children baptized quickly. Why? Because what parent would want their child to grow up in the kingdom of darkness under the power and influence of Satan? Versus having them baptized, being cleansed of sin, brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ so they can be raised and grow up under the influence of Christ. And so it's a very important obligation. You know, some Protestant churches, as I mentioned, teach that you're not allowed to do infant baptism. And they point to Scripture. Well, the reality is Scripture doesn't say anything about infant baptism directly. It doesn't say whether you can or can't baptize an infant. But there are a few clues in Scripture. And one of those is in Acts of the Apostles, in the early church, when they would baptize people and they would convert. There's a number of examples of people who said they converted and their entire household was baptized. Who's in someone's household? That would be the husband and wife. It would be their children of whatever age they are, servants, and anyone in their household would have been baptized. And we also know that St. Paul uses baptism as an analogy for the fulfillment of circumcision. He said in the old covenant, circumcision was how you entered the covenant. In the new covenant, it's baptism. Well, children were circumcised on the eighth day after their birth, when they were 8 days old. And so if baptism is replacing circumcision, it would make sense that we would baptize infants. And also, if we look historically, there's plenty of evidence that in the very earliest times of the church that infants were baptized. So that was part of the apostolic teaching and the apostolic faith that was passed on. And so for us, it's important to make sure that our children are baptized and to make sure that they are baptized quickly and understand the importance of how that child is dying to the life of sin and death and being reborn as a new creation. Baptism is a one-time sacrament. You can only be baptized one time. But it's also something that should shape how we live out the rest of our lives. Every day, each one of us are tempted to sin. And each one of us has different weaknesses. And if we take a step back and take an honest look at our lives, every one of us could probably pinpoint a number of different sins that we fall into, whether it's sins of lust, or greed, or anger, or being judgmental of others, or being lazy and not fulfilling our responsibilities in life. Every one of us can probably point to different sins that we're tempted to. And what we're called to do as part of our Christian life is to put those parts of us that lead us away from Christ to death. That if we're tempted to sin, that part of us that's drawn to sin, if it's lust, that part of us that's drawn to pleasure, or if it's anger, that part of us that puts our own ego or our own temper above the good of others, whatever it is within us that's leading to sin, that part of us needs to die. We can't compromise with sin. Or we can't say, well, as long as it's just venial sin, that's okay, we'll let that slide. What we're called to do as Christians is to put to death whatever part of us is not pleasing to God so that the new life of grace can flow through us. And so baptism is a one-time event, but the call of Christians to constant self-denial and to death is something we should be doing on a daily basis, putting to death those desires within us that are not pleasing to God. Penance is also an important part of the spiritual life, and it's something that a lot of people don't do anymore. They think that it's outdated or the church has gotten rid of it. Well, we're still required to do penance every Friday of the year, usually abstaining from eating meat or different forms of fasting or other forms of penance. Penance trains us to deny our desires so that it builds self-control and strengthens us spiritually. It gives us the strength we need to say no to what our body desires. And so it trains us to die to ourself, and it trains us and gives us the strength we need to overcome sin. If we're not doing penance as part of our regular spiritual life, chances are we're spiritually soft, spiritually weak, and we will not have the strength that we could have to resist sin. And so penance is an important part of that. But as we look at the sacrament of baptism today that St. Paul talks about in the second reading, first I think it's important to be grateful for the graces that we've received in our own baptism, to make sure that we baptize our children quickly and soon after birth so that they might be brought into the kingdom of light, and to reflect on whether or not we are dying within ourselves to anything that is not pleasing to Christ, so that we can be reborn and that grace can flourish within our lives.